And what we do know is that Craig Gabriel flies the globe and he has a lot of friends who are very, very famous. I wouldn't mind betting that he likes the Norwegian music scene and he'd be mates with our man Morty. Craig, good morning.
Norwegian pop, it's called.
I'm sure that's probably right. And he, your man Mort is having a birthday today.
Yep.
Do you know how old your mate is, Morto?
Yeah, we've got to keep remembering that because of time differences, we're a day ahead.
Yeah.
So he still hasn't had his birthday.
No, that's true. But you've got to work with what we're in. We're in the time zone of Australia.
Sure.
So, yeah,
so,
yeah.
Right at this moment, he's still 59, but he'll become 60 tomorrow.
Well, I'm disappointed that your mate Morto, he'll be disappointed more than anything, Craig, because, of course, he's 60 at the moment. He'll be 61 tomorrow, his
61,
time.
Yes. What am I thinking, of course?
Yeah, that's your first
born,
error.
He was born in 1959. Math has never been my strong subject.
That's your first error with us on the birthday bulletin, but Norwich Pop will be celebrating.
But did you know who some of his influences were?
Some of his what?
The people that sort of influenced him, his music.
Oh, right. Now, who were they?
Well, it took me by surprise when last week, or 2 weeks ago, we were chatting, and he was saying that David Bowie and Simon and Garfunkel. So talk about
contrast.
You know, a difference in genres. I mean, and even Jimi Hendrix, he was telling me. But the one that shocked me was when he said, that he really liked Johnny Cash as well.
Well, that is contrasting influences in our man Morto's musical career. But he'll be still celebrating about that big hit in 1985. And great stuff that you're keeping contact with him too, Craig. It's good stuff. You're a nice man. Now, what's happening at Flushing Meadow, the US Open Men's Final? There's been an early break. Break to the charismatic German.
Sasha Zverev got that early break. He's now up 4-2 in this first set. Domi's been looking a bit nervy in the early stages of this. He's still trying to get a bit of a groove with his game, and I think so much of that has really got to do with the fact that he, for the very first time, he is the favorite for the title. And, you know, he's coming to terms with that. And I think he's also trying to push things a little bit too much at the moment. Whereas Zverev is certainly looking way more relaxed. He's powering things. And Zverev's, I think, his mental side, the mental side of his game is he's telling himself, got to get off to a better start than he did in the semis. If you remember, he was down 2-0 before he staged that comeback to beat Pablo Carreño Busta.
Yeah, well, it's a bit of a blow-up because, as you say, he is favourite Dominic Thiem, and he's been the one has been really stable through the tournament, whereas Zverev, as we know, can be quite emotional. That semi-final performance on the weekend was unbelievably dramatic.
Yeah, look, absolutely. And this is what I've said often. You know, you get to these sort of matches, this round, these tournaments, the majors, anything can happen. It just depends, because it is such a big pressure moment, and it's like a pressure cooker. Can you imagine what it'd be like if there were people in the stands or a crowd in the stands? It does affect players in a different way. And you think that maybe the team should be a little bit more relaxed, because this is the fourth time he's playing the final of a major, and the last time being at this year's Australian Open when he lost to Novak Djokovic in that nail biter. It depends on how it affects a player on the day with these tournaments. They're so different to anything else.
Craig, can we go back to yesterday's women's final? I thought that was just a terrific match. Obviously, Naomi Osaka got over the top in the end, but just a high-quality encounter.
Oh, it was a superb match. Not one of the greatest matches, but it was an enthralling match. You know, it really kept your attention. It was exciting. There was so much going on. And the way Vika started that match, you could see a similar situation. You'd say Naomi Osaka was nervous, and in fact, she even admitted it, that she was nervous in the early part. And she said that she had to do something because she didn't want to lose 6-1, 6-love to Vika Azarenka in the final. So she was a point away from being down 1-3, love 3, turned it around. Vika should have held serve in that third game, didn't. Gave Naomi the opening, and she rallied back and provided us with a very entertaining final. Both of them played wonderfully well, and it was fitting of the final at a major.
Well, it had theatre, and that's where the disappointment of no crowds being there, because it was a real match that, because of the theatre of the game, it needed the crowd. It needed the crowd's involvement in that game.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, and it would have been wonderful to see that, because things were so close, and the crowd would have been getting on Naomi's side when she was trailing, and then Vika, they would have swung across to Vika when she was struggling in that final set and stuff like that. So it would have been wonderful to have had a full house for that match, because it would have just gone up another level, I think, even to what it was.
And I think, Craig, and you look at the fact that it's Team and Zverev in the men's final, Osaka winning her third Grand Slam in the women's, the talk of there being an asterisk attached to this year's US Open, it lessens that argument a little bit because of the quality of the two finals.
Oh, look, that is such a load of bunk on these people that are going on about this asterisk aspect. No tournament, in my view, and I wrote a piece on this, no tournament or no player should have an asterisk alongside their names, especially when it comes to the majors. You can only play who's on the other side of the net. You can't control anything else. And that's the way it is. I mean, and just on that point also, this is the 50th anniversary now of Margaret Court closing out the Grand Slam in 1970, when she won the U.S. Open that year. That sealed the Grand Slam for her, and only the second woman in history to do it. Now, since then, Steffi did it as well in 1988. But, I think it's just such a shame that people start to do this, and in particular, the Americans tend to do it. And so much of it is only because of Margaret Court, not because of anything else, and she's the one who's been singled out. So we've seen amazing tennis in this U.S. Open. It's been the weirdest and strangest major ever, but we've still been highly entertained. And you're right, no asterisk on this.
I just want to ask you about Naomi Osaka, because, I mean, I think it can't be undersold about the pressure that she has to deal with as being a Japanese player, and the excitement and the expectation from her home country on what's achievable. She could have easily won four or five, really, over her career to this point. She just seems to be maturing a little bit, though, Craig, and she could be someone that's capable of winning sort of six or seven before the end of her career.
That's the key word, maturing. Even before, I don't think she was ready to win, more than what she achieved, which has been remarkable, to win the U.S. and the Australian Open. But what I've seen in particular, and really taken to her in the last 4 months, is that maturity on and off the court. The way she's presenting herself, she is a leader. And I don't know about so much the pressure. I don't think she was ready. She said she was feeling, she wasn't feeling quite right. She hadn't got things together. And I also think she's the highest paid female athlete in the world at the moment. But what I think has been a big factor for her, and I wrote about this, is the interest or the attention she's also getting off court for her activism on racial injustice. I think that is also taking some of the pressure or the attention off her as far as her tennis is concerned, as she can relate to something. And that, I think, is also helping her pay, with dividends on the court.
Well, she's a two-time US Open champion now, and it's a great story for an outstanding tennis player, is what she is. She's terrific stuff, Naomi Osaka, and we're looking forward to seeing the progress of this match and the men's final at the moment. Looks like Zverev is away early, 5-2. It's a couple of breaks for Airman Zverev.
Yeah, and he's 2 points away from the first set. He's at 30-all. Team go with the back end deep, and that's out. So there's set point now for Alexander Zverev in the first set, and this is what he really needed. He had to come out of the blocks to put the focus and the pressure on team, make Domi start to think about things and maybe feel the nerves a little bit more. 30 minutes, and it's a huge ace from Zverev, and he seals the first set 6-2.
All right, we might check in a little bit later on. Craig, thanks for your time, buddy.
Okay,